is Molly Gamble, Editor-in-Chief of Becker's Hospital Review. Today I'm pleased to be joined by Tom Skelton. Tom is the Chief Executive Officer of Surescripts. He brings more than 30 years of experience in the healthcare technology sector with him to his role at Surescripts, which he has held since 2014. Prior to joining Surescripts, he served as the CEO of Foundation Radiology Group, a private equity-backed diagnostic imaging services firm that grew substantially under his leadership. His many other career accomplishments include serving as Chief Executive Officer for Mises Healthcare Systems and as a member of LCOMP Systems' founding team. Tom was drawn to a leadership role with Surescripts due to his drive to be at the forefront of what's next in healthcare, and he wanted to work alongside smart, dynamic teams to make a positive impact on our nation's healthcare system. He holds a bachelor's degree in Management Information Systems and Services from Robert Morris University. Today, Tom and I are discussing e-prescriptions, price transparency, and why this is important in today's healthcare landscape. So, Tom, you've been in the health IT business for a long time. What changes have you observed, and where do you think we're going to go in the future?
Yeah, I started my career in healthcare technology about 30 years ago. We used to carry a brochure around with us at the time that helped articulate to physicians and hospitals why they needed to automate, why they needed to have a computer. So I would say that the market's come a long, long way since then. We were at that point really evangelizing the benefits of technology, the long-term value to be created around digitizing information. And I think that since then, we've moved on obviously quite a bit. If you fast forward from the earliest parts of my career and then tie that into the founding of Surescripts in 2001, that's when really Surescripts stood up the nation's first interoperable network with a focus on e-prescribing. At that point in time, about 1 in 10 physicians across the country utilized an electronic health record. Today, that number is roughly 8 out of 10. We've got Surescripts transmitting close to 13 billion transactions per year, and we're connecting over 1 million healthcare professionals. So there has been absolutely huge progress here, which is the culmination of decades of investment in information technology and data sharing. It's also bringing to fruition the visions of a lot of people that have been along this journey for a long way, including those in government regulatory bodies, as well as the clinicians on the forefront of all this. I would say that while it's taken us longer than anticipated in many ways, these investments are absolutely starting to pay off, and providers are now increasingly getting much more diverse information about their patients at the point of care and helping to inform decision making. And this is a fabulous win. And I believe that this is what we will see over the course of the next 5 to 7 years. I think that we are on a very strong and solid adoption curve here, and that interoperability will continue to grow and really change the way that care is being delivered, the way that care is being discussed. And I think price transparency is at the forefront of all of that. So a tremendous amount of change and progress, and we expect more to come here in the future.
I think you just gave a great lay of the land with how much you've seen change since Surescripts was founded in 2001, when 1 in 10 used EHRs. Can you tell me a little bit more about how Surescripts is evolving its business beyond e-prescribing to adapt to this changing environment?
Sure. As I mentioned, we were founded in 01. We actually have kind of two different groups that came together in 08 to form Surescripts as we know it today. Those two groups, one was founded by the pharmacy side of the house, the other was founded by the PBM side of the house. And when they came together in 2008, it really accelerated adoption in the market. And what that means is that we're in a position today where, you know, about 3/4 of all the scripts in the country are electronic. And we've got about, you know, 5 million crossing our network each and every day. For us, the purpose of the business, the reason that we exist, is to serve the nation with the single most trusted and capable health information network. We've got a particular focus on patient safety, lowering costs, and ensuring quality care. That's kind of why we exist. Now, we offer a portfolio of solutions today that work together to enhance e-prescribing, to inform care decisions, and overall just to advance healthcare. So those are the three things: enhance prescribing, inform care decisions, advance healthcare. We talked a little bit about the prescribing side, and for us, what we're trying to do is step back, look at this more holistically, and make sure that we're addressing the issues that may be impacting items such as medication adherence, right? We've got information right now that shows us that about, you know, 1 in 10 patients that abandon medications do so because of cost. And we also have data that shows that about 40% of patients will abandon treatment when a prior authorization is required. So understanding that, what we've tried to do is take that into account while also working to enhance the quality of e-prescribing. Research that we've done shows that about 1 in 10 electronic prescriptions has the potential to cause confusion or disruption in somebody's workflow. And so now we're working to, in an automated way, monitor the nearly 2 billion scripts that come across our network each year for accuracy, for clarity, to eliminate phone calls, faxes, et cetera, between physicians and pharmacists that cause not only patient confusion, but patient inconvenience. So these are some of the key things that we're doing. We're also looking to inform care decisions by arming providers with actionable patient intelligence. This can include both clinical and medication history. Studies have shown that 48% of diagnostic errors are due to a lack of access to critical patient data. Our job is to help bring that to bear. And then lastly, what we're trying to do is to convene our network alliance for the general advancement of healthcare. And so to advance healthcare, what we've tried to do is inform and advance and advocate on behalf of the industry for public policy standards around public health and some generic items around research. So there's an awful lot going on right now. It's a really exciting time in healthcare information technology and around interoperability, and we're thrilled to be a part of it.
Great. And you mentioned a little bit about the provider perspective and that they're getting a lot more diverse information now to inform their decision making. Let's drill down a little bit more there. What clinical and financial challenges are they facing today when they make medication decisions for patients? And what information do prescribers really need to make the best prescription decisions and ensure that patients adhere to them?
Sure. When you look at the e-prescribing process, there's a lot that goes on there. It is a very complex process. There's a lot of information to be gathered, and it actually starts before the patient presents. Usually, the electronic health record will come out to the network, and on behalf of the physician's office, the hospital that is going to see the patient, query about that patient's coverage. What type of plan are they in? What type of coverages do they have? Because that determines some of the workflow in the physician's office. The other thing that you're ultimately going to be looking for is specific information on the status of that patient. Okay, where are they within a treatment regimen? What history is relevant to the care that we'll be delivering tomorrow? We'll be looking at the status of prior prescriptions. We'll be trying to tie that information together. So when you look at the challenges that the physician has at the point of prescribing, it's a matter of getting all of this information together in a consumable way, in a natural workflow, so that the physician is appropriately informed about the coverage and plan, has information about the patient's history of prior medications and prior key visits that have been held, that there are indicators that come up automatically to show whether the patient has been adherent to those prior treatment regimens. And then once the treatment process starts again, now it's a matter of, okay, the physician has worked with the patient to choose a pharmacy. They have selected the clinical therapies, the medications that they're going to use. What does the patient's specific coverage look like? What does that copay look like? You know, what forms need to be filled out? Is there prior authorization that is involved? Is this the type of drug that requires them to be enrolled in a specialty program to make sure that they've got the access that we need? So the goal here is to make sure that we are optimizing the benefits that the patient is entitled to receive and helping to inform the physician or prescriber exactly what those are. So let me pause there. I think there's a lot that went into that and see what follow-up questions you might have.
Absolutely. I think you just mentioned a lot of data and information that providers previously have not had much access to. So I'm curious how the transparency into the information can improve their prescription decision-making processes.
Sure. Sometimes the best thing to do is to explain a real-life scenario. You know, I've got an elderly member of the family who was diagnosed with dry eye syndrome. As part of that diagnosis, she was given a prescription. She left the physician's office without any idea what that script really meant. And then she showed up at the pharmacy and the copay was $500 per month. You know, being on a fixed income at the age of 80, that wasn't going to happen. So at that point in time, she began calling the physician's office, calling the pharmacist, calling her PBM, trying to determine the best way to get the treatment that she needed while also adhering to the plan that she was on. And the great news is that in the end, after a tremendous number of phone calls and discussions, she ended up getting it for $25 per month. That's the type of event that goes on across this country each and every day, that items such as price transparency and what we're doing there with real-time prescription benefits can help eliminate. We shouldn't have our elderly citizens having to make 6 or 8 phone calls to determine the most effective way to get the prescriptions that they are entitled to get in the most economic fashion.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that real life example. I think it's really helpful to understand how price transparency helps someone in your own life. I would like to talk a little bit more about the patient point of view. I think that's a great segue into this, but how does prescription price transparency improve medication adherence and the overall patient experience?
Well, if you go back to the example I just gave, having the information up front about what that copay looks like is a vital component of this. We found through some studies that as little as $10 difference in copay can make a significant difference in the level of adherence that patients have to the treatment regimen that's been prescribed. So when you're down to that level, you have to make sure that both the prescriber and the patient understand what this script means. And if there's discomfort in bridging the clinical need with the economic reality, that discussion occur as early in the process as possible. This is a vital part of delivering care. And if you're a patient, this is an important part of the satisfaction that you will feel with the overall healthcare encounter that you're having. So from our standpoint, we think that this is a huge opportunity for us. The other thing that the real-time patient benefits product does for us is puts us in a position where we can provide therapeutic alternatives at the point of prescribing. And that's also vital. Listen, there are many drugs that do similar things. And understanding which ones are covered and which ones are not and how the copays are different, that's an important aspect of delivering care, and we believe that the product does that and does it well. So we're very excited to offer this across the country.
Let's switch gears a bit here, Tom. You mentioned SureScripts interacts with 2 billion scripts across the network each year. What's the value of a network like that, that substantial, in delivering prescription price transparency?
Yeah, I think when you look at the value of the network, having a safe, secure place that all of our partners can go, whether you're an electronic health records vendor, whether you are a large health system, whether you are a payer, whether you're a PBM, whether you're a pharmacy chain, an independent pharmacist, all of those folks get the benefit of the network and the connectivity that we provide. Every one of them has information that they provide into the network. Every one of them has information that they receive from the network. And our job is to really be the proper stewards of the network and to provide that safe, trusted, and secure environment for this type of information exchange. And that's really what SureScripts is all about. This is exactly why we were founded in 01, and we like to believe that we're delivering an extraordinary experience for the partners.
And as you know, prescription price transparency was not always part of our reality in healthcare. So I'm curious why it's possible today and what needed to happen to make it possible.
It's like many things in innovation. What makes items available at a certain point in time is a combination of new technologies, stronger infrastructure, increased focus. You know, when we started in 01, nobody was doing prescriptions electronically. It took us 13 years to get to 50% penetration, 13 years to get to half of the scripts in the country being done electronically. So the fact that an item like this would take a little longer really shouldn't be a massive surprise. But what I would say is now that we're on this path, the commitment on the part of the payers and the PBMs and the physicians and the pharmacists to enhancing the patient experience is tremendous, and it is making a huge difference. And it took a lot of work on their infrastructures to get us to this point. But the fact is we're there now, and there'll be additional things to come based on what we're doing here today with real-time prescription benefits.
Fantastic. And, you know, e-prescribing adoption did not necessarily occur quickly. Something else I wanted to check in about is interoperability, which I think might be of a similar pace. Where do you see interoperability happening today, and what do you think needs to happen to make it a reality?
Interoperability in healthcare has been going on for some time. The question is, for what reason and what aspects? In mid-80s, as a much younger professional, I had the opportunity to be working for the company that did the first submissions electronically of insurance claims to a payer in the state of Virginia. So we had patients that were submitting claims, and our solution was to automate that. And it took months and months of testing, et cetera. So this is the mid-80s, and it was focused on claims. So now let's fast forward. It's 2018, and you know, what are we working on now? Well, what we're working on now is making sure that vast aspects of the patient's clinical history is available. We've been making medication histories available for some time. We provide about a billion updates of medication history to prescribers and health systems each and every year. We've introduced offerings that are designed to not only understand where a patient has been. We call that product our record locator service. And the record locator and exchange offering that we have allows a physician to say, oh, Tom Skelton has shown up in my office. I'd like to know where else Tom has been seen. I'm going to go out and query the SureScripts network, find out where Tom has been seen. And then if it looks like there's an event that is relevant to what I'm doing today, I'm going to double click on that and try and download summaries of those encounters so that I've got full information about what's going on in Tom's life from a healthcare standpoint. And, you know, this type of work is absolutely, you know, mind blowing that we've come this far. The great news is that it continues to accelerate. You know, in 2017, there were over 50,000 physicians and caregivers that exchanged about 25 million documents utilizing this service. In the fourth quarter alone, there were 4 million such exchanges. And we're only part of this ecosystem. This is a big and growing and robust ecosystem that is out there. So for those that are concerned that there is no interoperability, I would say that, you know, that's probably not where we are today in the market. There is, in fact, interoperability. It is growing. We can argue about whether or not it's growing fast enough and whether it should be a more aggressive approach, but the technologies are emerging, the innovation is occurring, And firms all across the country are working to make this happen. And we're proud to be part of that.
Thank you, Tom, so much for your time and insight today. To learn more about Surescripts, please visit www.surescripts.com. If you have any feedback on this program or requests for future podcast topics, please email me at mgamble@beckershealthcare.com. And please make sure to regularly visit Becker's Hospital Review at www.beckershospitalreview.com for the latest business, legal, and clinical news and guidance for hospitals and health systems. Thank you for joining us.